Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Short, I had five men, multiple of them were armed, surrounded my vehicle and pointed a gun to my head. But I remember handing over my crown as Miss Universe and walking off that stage feeling like I handed over my purpose as well. Wow. I thought was my life's calling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Happy and Healthy. I am your host, Janine Amapola. Welcome back to the podcast. I am hyped today. I have my iced coffee. You guys can hear. Hold on. That sounded so nice. Yeah, I got my iced coffee. It's a great day. This is my first episode that I'm filming of today. I have another one later that I'm filming. I ran some errands this morning, filmed my makeup routine on my Instagram. So you guys can go check that out. And yeah, I really quickly wanted to share a voice memo that I got from a listener. I kind of forgot about these, to be honest, but I did get one from a listener and I wanted to share that with you guys because these are so fun. Like, I still love these so much and I love when you guys do these. So just so you guys always know, there is still always an option to where you guys can submit a voice memo. It'll always be in the like show notes if you guys want to submit this. So let me log on and include this because I would love to hear what someone has to say. All right, we got this voice memo queued up. It is from Aspen. I haven't heard this yet. Let's see.
Hey, Janine, thank you so much for doing what you do. I love Happy and Healthy, and I love you. I want to share a testimony with you from one of your podcast episodes. So a couple years ago, I did the Daniel fast with my church, and I stayed really strong. But once we hit the end of that fast, I basically had deprived myself for so long that I almost set myself into a borderline like binge eating disorder. And so after dealing with that for a couple months, I got healing and I started eating healthy, but I just had this fear of fasting for a really long time. And I knew that that wasn't what was best for me. So I started praying and asked God to send me a like example of instruction on exactly how to fast. The next day you dropped your episode of fasting and eating healthy, fueling your body. And it has changed my life. So thank you so much. I'm incredibly grateful for you. You were an answered prayer.
That makes me freak out. Oh my gosh. That is so freaking cool. And it just makes me like so excited when I get to see the tangible, like, wow, like this is what God can do through a platform or through, you know, I don't know, a podcast. Like, that's so amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. You guys always send those voice memos. I want to include those more. The link is always in the show notes or the YouTube description. So that's so cool. Thank you so much for sharing. And I'm just praise God that that is was a blessing to you. So for today's episode, I'm so excited about today's guest. We have Demi Tebow coming on the podcast. Yay. She's so amazing. She's so beautiful. She is or was Miss Universe 2017. And I'm kind of embarrassed because in the podcast, I said Miss USA. And the reason that kept coming in my head was because my friend Sarah Rose was Miss USA. And so she's like, oh, I'm actually Miss Universe. So I was like, I'm an idiot. But it's okay. We cleared it up. She is Miss Universe of 2017. She's married to Tim Tebow. She is a powerhouse of a woman. She shares what it was like being Miss Universe. A story of her almost being human trafficked, what her marriage story is like, what gives her confidence, how she stands firm under pressure. So many things. She has an amazing story. I really think this is going to be a blessing for you guys. So I really hope you guys enjoy today's episode, my conversation with Demi Tebow. She's just so beautiful, so graceful, and so poised. Like, I just love getting to chat with her and stuff. So I hope you guys enjoy today's episode of Happy and Healthy, and let's just get right into it. Demi Tebow, welcome to Happy and Healthy. How are you doing today?
Hey, Janine. Thank you so much for having me. I am so well, coming from actually super overcast and pretty rainy Florida, which is very unusual.
Yeah, you guys are the Sunshine State. What happened?
I felt so bad this morning. We have three dogs, and one of them is a golden retriever. And he, when he sees the leash, he like knows the good time's about to happen. And so I pulled out the leash, and I harnessed him up, and we're going to go for a run. And literally as I stepped out the door, it just started pouring out of nowhere. And like while I was leashing him up, there was sunshine. So anyway, I had to put it back, and he just couldn't understand, why is mom not taking me on a run right now? Why would she get me all excited and just for nothing? So I felt so bad. Actually, like 30 minutes later, it opened up, so we got to go on our run. But that's just Florida weather for you.
Oh, that's so funny. That sounds just like Texas, like very, very bipolar. So yeah. I know how that goes.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I know you and I got connected through Sarah Rose and Maddie. You were Sarah Rose's old roommate, which is so fun because Maddie is my old roommate. And I just love like girls connecting and like, I don't know, I think it's just so fun. And I think the first time I met you, where was that again? Was that at Maddie's wedding?
I believe that was at Maddie's like bridal shower.
Yes.
Which once again was like a super impromptu, book the flight, the day off trip. For me to Dallas, I feel like that just keeps happening. But I was so happy I could make that.
Yeah, you have a pretty crazy life, right?
Sometimes, but you know, I feel like this is life. Work includes travel and being in a lot of places, which feels like all at once sometimes.
Yeah.
But I've just learned to embrace that and enjoy that. You know, enjoy the travel, enjoy just every part of it. Otherwise, I feel like you can get to a place where it so easily feels like, oh man, I'm gone from home again, or you can get into this negative mindset very easily. And I've definitely been there, but for the most part, it's just life.
Yeah, no, I feel you, girl. Like you got to just flow. You got to float with it. Go with the flow. Make it work. So yeah, totally understand that. Could you kind of just like share who you are to my listeners? Maybe someone doesn't know who you are, which I would be shocked because I feel like you're a very well-known person. You have an amazing story. You are married to Tim Tebow, and I definitely want to ask about that, but I'd love for you just to introduce yourself to my listeners.
Yeah, well, I'm Demi Tebow. I am from South Africa. Someone actually recently asked me if I'm from Alabama, and then they stopped and said, okay, actually, no, are you from, it's Southern Alabama, right? And I said, no,
wow.
It's not, it's even more than that, so it's South Africa, and yes, my accent is all messed up because I started saying things like y'all, which when I first moved here and I was roommates with Sarah, I was like, that is just one word I will never say, and here I am saying plant and banana and not plant and banana. But for the most part, I feel like I'm getting away with it.
So oh, my gosh. You can't lose that. No, don't lose the accent. We love it.
I'm not trying to. You know, like living in the U.S., it's been 5 years now, and all my family is still back home. So, my parents are divorced, and so I have two sets of parents, and they're all still back in South Africa. And, you know, obviously my husband and all my friends and everyone I'm surrounded by are American English speaking people. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like your brain just adapts, and it's not even like you're trying to change. I will tell you, when I lived in New York, that was the first place I lived when I moved to the US. When I lived in New York, I would have to put on some form of an American accent because people would actually not understand what I'm asking for or
really
saying. And I remember I think one time I asked for ice, and I don't know if the guy thought I was saying something inappropriate or when he just looked really offended. So I have a couple of funny stories. But yeah, born and bred in South Africa, that is home for me. I tried to get back as much as possible, but unfortunately it is a good over 15-hour direct flight. And you were just there recently.
Right? I was, I was just there in February and absolutely loved it. I was like, wow, like I totally see the hype of this beautiful country. And just like, oh my gosh, the nature there, like absolutely stunning. So I was like, man, like I wonder what it was like. And I want to ask you, like, what was that like growing up there? Like, what was your upbringing like? Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. So if you guys are anything like me and you struggle with allergies, raise your hand because I am right there with you. I get super itchy throat, itchy ears, and I sneeze like a crazy woman. And it really does prevent me from wanting to take my daily walks with my husband. But luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It is designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and an itchy nose and sinus congestion and pressure with an ease, which is exactly what I need. So I have been using them anytime that I have allergies, which has been many, many times. I have found that it has definitely helped me so much where I can go outside again and enjoy my day. So if you guys are ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it is time to live Claritin Clear. It is fast and powerful relief. It's just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
So I feel like I had a pretty humble upbringing. I grew up about 4 hours outside of Cape Town in a very, very small town. I wouldn't be surprised if we had maybe a total of 5,000 permanent residents, at least at the time I grew up there. And I grew up buying groceries on the Saturday farmers market. We had like one grocery store, one little like secondhand thrift store boutique, and like maybe one little coffee shop. So that was the extent of my hometown. I spent a lot of time with friends who lived on nearby farms, and like our like sleepovers were like, hey, you're helping on the farm. If you want to come like a play date, like you're helping. So I learned to ride horses and all the things. Grew up in a really, really small town in South Africa. I feel like absolutely just influenced who I am today, and the things I believe in and hold on to, the values that that I value. And so just so grateful for all the opportunities that I've been given through my home country.
I love that. That's so amazing. Are your parents believers? Like, when did you become a Christian, or did you grow up in a Christian household?
Yeah, I did. Both my parents grew up believers, grew up probably different denominations, but I always grew up in the church. The town that my parents are divorced, and so they both kind of live on both ends of the country, separate ends of the country, both pretty small towns. And so there were never a lot of church options. If there were, it was pretty limited. So I really got invested into just, I feel like, full-on church in high school. I was in boarding school because I lived in such a small town. We didn't have a high school, so the nearest best high school was about an hour's drive away. And wow. I played a lot of sports and did a lot of extramural activities, and so it just made sense for everybody for me to go to boarding school. And my mom was like, came to visit at least 3 times a week and brought snacks. And I think that might've been harder for her than for me, which is so sweet, but also an experience that I definitely treasure. And I feel like that added so much to my life, taught me independence in so many ways. But yeah, I grew up pretty much in a Christian household. Our school is a public school, but we open each day with prayer and with devotion. And each Friday, a different leader, you know, we have in South Africa, we have like a leadership kind of council, like a student council, and a different student on the council gets an opportunity to do a devotion in front of the whole school. So that's something that I grew up with. I got to be a small group leader. Our school actually dismissed on Wednesdays a little bit earlier so that we could meet and have small group meetings. So in 11th and 12th grade, I got to be a part of that. But I'll be honest, Janine, even though I grew up Christian and I can't necessarily remember, I know I did, but because my parents tell me so, but I can't even necessarily remember the day that I gave my heart to Jesus and that I surrendered. I was pretty young. I think it might have happened at two different instances when I was maybe 4 and 6 years old. And my whole life, I think also growing up in different denominations, I've just been kind of confused and was asking myself, you know, what, how do you know if you're actually going to heaven? Like, you know, people tell you that you have surrendered, but did I really? And we had a really tragic friend that passed away when I was in 11th grade, I believe. And it was the morning right before our final math exams. And we all got together on our sports field with our student pastor to just pray for it, for his family, for, you know, his friends. And our pastor gave us the opportunity and said, if you've ever felt unsure, do you want to put your faith in Jesus? And I said, yeah, I do. I mean, no longer do I ever want to question where I'm going to spend eternity. And so I was 17 years old at the time when I just said, yes, me. And it's the best decision that I ever made.
That is so amazing. And like, would you say that from that moment on, like you were pretty consistent in your faith, or did you ever have like a fallout moment or a moment where you slip back where you were like, because when you get older, you almost start to kind of question like, okay, am I saved? Like, is this real? Because I know I had to have a moment of that, of like, I was saved when I was 14 and then I kind of walked away from the Lord in college and then I came back to the Lord in my early 20s. And so did you have a moment like that, or would you say you were still pretty steadily walking with the Lord?
I feel like even before that, I think I've always had a relationship with Jesus, and I feel like that moment was just a defining moment for me to never have to second guess my decision ever again. And I wouldn't say that I've walked away from my relationship with the Lord. I think there's definitely been times where, like in a lot of relationships, where you can have a stronger bond and a stronger relationship. And it, I think, goes back to personally so much of just the work that we put in to build a personal relationship with Jesus, to spend time in his word, to, you know, read the love story that he has written for us through the Bible. But I will tell you, I think it's not that I walked away from my walk with the Lord, but I think it's a time that where I really questioned my worth and my value, and where I tried to seek that in things that were temporary. This might be a surprise to you and probably a lot of your listeners, but I actually never felt less confident than after I handed over my title as Miss Universe. And you think, well, like, Demi, you just won Miss Universe. You're the previous reigning Miss Universe, the first time in 39 years that someone from South Africa had won. Like, you know, everything, you just met the love of your life. Like, how are you not confident? Like, how do you not see the value that you have? And I think that a big reason of that, and it took me probably realistically a couple of years to truly figure that out and come to grips with it and really understand what I was walking through. But I remember handing over my crown as Miss Universe and walking off that stage feeling like I handed over my purpose as well. Wow. And what I thought was my life's calling. And it wasn't until maybe 2 years ago that I've read this verse so many times, but you know, sometimes you read the Bible and it just clicks differently, and you just kind of understand it differently for the first time. I read 1 Corinthians 9:25, where Paul writes to the church of Corinth, and he is explaining, he's referencing the Isthmian Games, which in that day kind of, you know, is referencing like, it's kind of a competitor to the Olympic Games. It's huge, like athletes train for it for years and years. And I mean, there's even some scholars that believe that some of the athletes have died participating. It was that intense. They were willing to give it all to participate in the Isthmian Games. And Paul's writing to the church of Corinth that is just down the street from where the Isthmian Games are happening. So it's very relevant in that era. And he's telling them, hey guys, don't chase perishable crowns. And for me, that hit home, because here I am today, I'm not wearing that crown right now. I don't really even have, I mean, I have like a small replica somewhere of it that my mom like found, but other than that, there's nothing that I physically have to show that was something that was temporary. It literally only lasted a year. And I put a lot of my confidence and my value and my worth in something that was temporary and didn't necessarily have impact for eternity. Now, what you get to do with that platform, what you get to do with that stepping stone is a whole different conversation. And I think it led me to having to figure out what is it that I have this gift, I have this community that I've been gifted, I have this title that I've been gifted, but how can I use this for His glory? How can I use this to have a real life-changing impact on other people's life? And so that was probably something, one of the hardest seasons that I've had to walk through my life up until then. But one that I'm so grateful for because it's definitely led me to where I am today.
Wow. Thanks for sharing. Because that's pretty crazy. Like, I can guarantee you a lot of people would look at you or look at your social media, and it is kind of like the same old story. If you look at somebody and you're like, they have it all, they're perfect, they have it all together. And it's always so interesting. Like, I think that's like my favorite thing that I get to share on this podcast is like, I bring people on that have all these different stories and platforms, and you know, from the outside looking in, everyone's like, oh man, I want to be her. She's so perfect. She's so this. And it's always very humbling to hear what's really going on behind the scenes, because that's just the reality for everybody, is that you can, from the stage or from social media, like everyone could be like, I want to be her. And it's like very humanizing and humbling when you get to share that, to be like, no, like I've tasted and seen what the world offered, and like everyone knew your name. Like, you were literally Miss USA 2017. Like, that's just gotta feel so crazy with that many people knowing who you are. And then that comes with all these different pressures and stuff. And so I guess, could you just explain like what were the pressures that you faced and felt in that moment? Because I know it is a year, but like, were you able to share your faith? Did you ever feel like people were trying to change you or make you act a certain way? Like, what were those pressures that you faced?
I think there were definitely moments where I kind of questioned, like, what is the right thing to do? You don't want to offend anyone. Where I come from, sharing your faith was very common. But I also think I grew up in a community that was very protected. You know, everywhere from home to the sports field to school to even my college campus, it was very accepted and was kind of the norm. So it wasn't, you know, I think I just grew up pretty sheltered, and I don't think it was until I moved to the US where I actually for the first time started questioning what is okay to share, what is not. I was met with people from you know, so many different walks of life, especially living in New York. You know, New York City is like a little melting pot of the world. But I have to say, Janine, you know, I'm very grateful and thankful to the organization that I got to work with. I felt like they really allowed me to be who I was and never tried to change me or my beliefs or my morals. And, you know, sometimes that meant like having hard conversations and saying no to things and explaining why. And there were many moments where, you know, hard conversations had to be had. But I will say I've always felt very respected in that regard, which I'm very grateful for.
Listen, guys, Janine and I have been married for 6 months, and the reason why it is a beautiful marriage, it's because of Thrive Market. Thrive Market, thank you so much for sponsoring this episode. We genuinely love you so much. Because of Thrive Market, we're able to save so much time through ordering all our grocery and household essentials through the app or website. Guys, it's just a huge stress relief. And you guys also know I have gut issues, like really, really, really bad. So finding, you know, food with top quality ingredients is super crucial for me. And Thrive Market not only does that, but they restrict over 1,000 harmful ingredients like artificial flavors, high fructose corn syrup, and a lot more. And guys, if your parents and you need to find organic kid snack, they have low sugar alternatives and high protein essentials. Janine and I are also training for our marathon, so it is so beneficial that we can find all of our protein options and snacks through Thrive Market. And guys, save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/healthy for 30% off your order, plus a free $60 gift. That's THRIVE market.com/healthy, thrivemarket.com/healthy.
That's awesome. I love that. I actually didn't know that. I always think like my expectation would be that, you know, mainly like, I guess in more Hollywood, they're trying to pressure you to conform and dress and talk like this and do this. And so that's really cool to hear that they're not trying to like strip you of who you are. But I guess like, what would you say to the girl that is looking at you, or she wants to be in a position like you, or she's facing a choice right now? She's like, oh man, I really want to compromise. I really want to be liked. I really want to fit in. I just want someone to like me. And she's, you know, having to decide, do I stick with what I know and the way I was raised, or do I deviate and just do this and conform? Like, what would be your advice to that girl that's struggling with that right now?
It's a tough question. I mean, it really is. And I think we all face moments like that at some point or another. I remember there was a time after I handed over my title where I moved back to New York City after I handed over my title. And we had just gotten engaged and, you know, Tim was all over the place. So New York was home for me and Florida was kind of home for him. And we did long distance that year, and my plan was, I just signed with IMG Models, and my plan was to just really have an opportunity to really give the modeling world a shot. You know, as a former Miss Universe, like, that's kind of the route you go, you know, like modeling, acting, like celebrity, that's kind of just the norm. That's what everyone else has done, and I think that was what was expected for me to do. Or the route that I was expected for me to go. And I remember there was a time that I went to a casting, and, you know, once again, never forced to go to any castings. I did not want to, but this was a really, really big opportunity, and would have probably been able to set my career up as a model in the best way possible if that was the route that I wanted to go. And at that point it was. And I remember going to this casting and walking out and just feeling my heart just felt heavy, and I just knew that this was not who I was. And it was a really hard decision, because if I had followed through with that and, you know, gotten the shoot and gotten the job, it probably would have set me up for a really great modeling career. But I decided against that because I felt I just felt a really big prompting from the Lord. And I also think I'm grateful for the community that I did have in place in that moment, because it would have been really hard to make that decision by myself to say no.
Right.
I had prayer warriors in my life. I had a family that loved me very much that I could call on anytime. At that point, I had a fiance that, you know, loves me so much, really wants the best for me, that has my back, that's looking out for my best interest. I had friends that understood my values and what I believe in and what I stand for. And honestly, that was very important in that moment, because, you know, being there and having to make that decision myself would have been way harder to walk away than having people that can not just hold me accountable, but that I can be completely transparent with. Because, you know, we can have people that hold us accountable, but that also comes down to us having to be honest with them. So I would say people that I can really be transparent with, that I can really trust, that I know love me and have my best interests at heart. So I would probably encourage your listeners to really seek out that community that can be prayer warriors for you, that can come alongside you, that can hold your hand, that can walk with you through those hard situations. Because, you know, the Bible tells us we are going to face hardship. Like, that is, that's not a if, it's a when. You know, we will face hardship. And we will be faced with hard decisions to make. So how can we set ourselves up for when those moments come, when we do face those hard things, that we know that we can seek wisdom, we can seek discernment, and we can walk through that season hand in hand with people that love us.
That's a great answer. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that was actually going to be my next question, was just like, what did that look like with people around you? But you answered that, because I could imagine, you know, there's probably times where you did feel lonely or you felt a little misunderstood, or maybe, you know, people just couldn't really grasp like what you were going through. So I wanted to ask you, like, what were the people like in your life during that time? But I do think that's such a great answer, because, you know, you can't overcome pressures alone. Like the Bible talks about, like, you know, the lone sheep gets devoured, like the wolf is looking to devour that sheep that's by itself. And like, that is what happens, is that when you're by yourself, like the enemy just attacks you and robs you and steals everything that he can from you. But when you're in your clan, like you can defend yourself. And so that's something that I've seen to be true with my friendships. And that is always going to be my advice to girls as well, is like, if you want to fight back, don't fight back alone. Like you will get eaten if you continually try to do it alone. And I think that's really cool that you had friends around you praying for you. Like, but that's the thing, is like, you've got to be willing to be open to listen. You've got to be willing to be able to receive accountability. You've got to be vulnerable. Like they can't speak in all the time unless you're allowing it or you're giving them the chance to speak into your life. And so it sounds like you did a pretty good job at that. Or was that ever hard for you?
Definitely. I think in my time in boarding school and in high school, I participated in every single thing I possibly could have, that all the sports, at the track, at the field, at the hockey, that the netball, you know, all the, we play different sports in South Africa, but that all of those things. And I think it left me in a very lonely spot, because things that were important to some of my peers just weren't important to me. And I grew up for the most part of my life as an only child. My half sister and I were about 10 and a half years apart, and she also grew up with my dad and my stepmom. So I for the most part grew up as an only child, living with my mom. And I think I'm so grateful for the things that my mom taught me at a very young age, that at that age I maybe wasn't necessarily open to learning, or I was totally that teenager that was like, oh mom, this is not cool, like why do I need to know these things? But it really set me up for so much success. And so to any parents listening, I would just say, sometimes when I think, you know, you're not being the cool parent, later in life that does pay off, and those seeds you plant, continue to water them. And in my life, my personal story, I feel like they've definitely grown so much just with parents being obedient, and I believe the way that they were called to parent.
Amen. Yeah, I would agree. My parents as well. It's weird because like at the time, you just don't see it. You're like, I want to do what I want to do and leave me alone. And later you come to find, you're like, oh, dang it. And you have to do the whole, like, you were right.
That's right. I mean, you know, I think parents want the best for us in a lot of cases. I say that because I'm very involved in the fight against human trafficking, and unfortunately, a lot of those cases, parents are involved. So I don't want to just say that parents have the best, you know, in mind for us, just because of the work that we do and the statistics that we know and have been able to learn. But listen to your parents. They love you. They want the best for you.
I totally agree. Can you tell me more about like what it looks like for you to fight back with human trafficking? Because that is something that is so prevalent today. I wish it was talked about a lot more. I think it is now. It's something I'm pretty passionate about as well. But can you kind of share more about like what you do and like how you can kind of fight that back, or how you're giving back to that?
Yeah, I'll maybe backtrack a little bit and just share how I got involved in the fight against human trafficking. Same situation, Janine. Back in 2017, I had no idea that the word human trafficking is a thing, that it exists. I thought it's a Liam Neeson movie where someone gets taken off the street and, you know, off they go. I had no idea to the extent of what this evil goes. It's one of the greatest evils, I believe, that we are facing and fighting in our lifetime right now. I was sitting at a red traffic light on my way to an event, broad daylight, peak hour traffic. I was just crowned Miss South Africa a couple months before. And to make a very long story short, I had five men, multiple of them were armed, surrounded my vehicle and pointed a gun to my head. In that moment, my dad had sent me on so many safety driving courses, and my mom had sent me on so many self-defense workshops. The Miss South Africa organization at that time, you know, had sent me on woman empowerment courses and workshops. And in that moment, I realized that, one, going to the second destination with these guys is not a great idea, because whatever is going to happen on the first destination, it's not going to get better downtown in some dark alley with 10 other of their friends. So I immediately surrendered my belongings. They were replaceable. They were materialistic. And they were definitely temporary. And I got out of the vehicle and I tried to run away. And as I tried to run away, the guy on my side of the vehicle grabbed me and tried to push me back into the vehicle and yelled something to the extent of, you know, get in, you're going with us. I realized once again, no, going to the second destination is not going to get any better. I tried to run, fight, flight, or flee. I tried to flee, couldn't do that. I really two other options, to do nothing or to try and fight my way out of that. And in my scenario, I was like, there's no way I'm going with you. So I looked for the first opportunity, grabbed the steering wheel, and punched this guy as hard as I could in his throat. And it bought me a very small window of opportunity to get out of the vehicle and to get him off of me and to run. And I did. I ran up a really big avenue, hop aside in the afternoon, peak hour, bumper-to-bumper traffic. And I bet if you had to take a guess, you'd probably know how many people stopped to help. Absolutely none.
Whoa.
Not one vehicle stopped to help. And I mean, there were people with their windows down. There were people that could hear me. There were families. There were females. There were, you know, husband and wives driving. Nobody would stop for me.
Wow.
Eventually, a young girl, she was 19 years old at the time, pulled over, nearly caused an accident, and stopped and led me to a safe place, which I'm very grateful for. And that girl really impacted my life in such a tremendous way, because I feel like not instantly, after a couple of months of just processing and going through trauma counseling, you know, I realized that that one girl that was willing to stop and help me opened my eyes to never wanting to be one of the 30, 40, I would even say 50 car windows that I knocked on, that pretended not to see, pretended not to hear, turned a blind eye, and just kept going about their normal day. She made me realize that, you know, for the rest of my life, if I can be that one person that is willing to help someone in need, I'm going to do everything I can to do that. And so that really snowballed to me learning about the fight against, it really started with learning and going deeper into violence against women and children, which is unfortunately something that a lot of women face in my home country, which is so unfortunate. And that has led me to learning again about the fight against human trafficking, which has led me to learning about labor trafficking and bonded labor trafficking and online sexual abuse material of children, which is horrific. One of the most horrific things I've ever heard in my life. Mm. So now 6 years later, actually, yeah, probably 6 years, 6 years later, I get to serve on multiple boards, both locally here in the US, domestically, as well as internationally. And I get to walk alongside organizations that just love survivors of human trafficking in every way, from the day they are rescued until they are able to, whatever that looks like for them, complete their high school diploma or get their first job or learn to drive a vehicle. So that is some of the ways that I've been involved in helping to fight this evil. I also, last year for my birthday fundraiser, got to raise enough funds to build four more safe homes in the Philippines on the TIBO Compassionate Hope Village of Hope campus. And so that's been amazing. And we have some more plans for this year to just try and get to one more.
Wow. I'm speechless. Thank you for sharing. I mean, that's like a pretty traumatizing story. And I did hear a little bit about that by like researching a little bit more. And like, yeah, the first time I even heard that, but hearing you like reshare it and tell me that, I just like, that is just so, so crazy. And it really is heartbreaking knowing that there were so many people that didn't stop. And it is kind of a reflection of how many people want to turn a blind eye to it and be like, nope, not my problem. And I know that that has absolutely scarred and traumatized a lot of people from their stories and stuff. And so thank you for sharing. Thank you for making a stand on that and fighting that back. And I mean, that's even something I'm like, dang, like, how can I get involved? Because I never want that to happen to another person again. Like, I know it's not just women. I know it's mainly women. But, you know, that's just like, that is just so freaking heartbreaking. Gosh.
I mean, I think in a lot of cases, people really want to help. They want to do good. They want to contribute. And I think we get paralyzed by not knowing how. And the second way I feel like we get paralyzed is just by feeling like our contribution is not enough. And, you know, look at this young woman that just used what she had, where she was, with what she, you know, had accessible to her, and she decided to just be obedient and do what she thought was the right thing to do. And that has transpired into, you know, affecting so many lives around the world. And I don't think that was something that she necessarily even thought would happen in that moment. She just did what she believed was the right thing, and she used the limited amount of resources that she had in that moment to help someone that was in need. And so I would just say, don't get discouraged by feeling like what you're doing is not enough, or is not extravagant enough, or is not impactful enough. You never know the seeds that you're planting. You never know how and when they're going to start growing. And my my mother-in-law actually wrote a book called Ripple Effects, and it really talks about the ripple effect of goodness that we can have. You know, that one pebble just keeps making little ripple effects, and the lives that keep getting touched by you just being obedient and doing that, even just that one thing that you feel called to do.
That is so powerful. And you're absolutely right. It's like, we all think like, oh no, it's just me by myself. Like, what can I do? But if everyone has that mentality, then nothing changes. And so I think that's such a powerful statement and reminder that like, no, like you can give back, even if it's just with a little bit of time or a little bit of money or whatever, even just raising awareness. I think that's so, so great. And that's just such a prime example of what it looks like to use, like, what the enemy meant to destroy you, to use for God's glory. Like, it's like using that key part of your story to help someone else become free. And I talk about that a lot to people, of like the things that maybe you're ashamed of, or you're like, I can't believe this happened to me, or why would God allow this, or whatever, when like, we have to remember there's an enemy after our life as well. But using that to be like, enemy, no, like, you are not going to win, and I'm going to use this now to help thousands of other women become set free. And that is just so amazing and so inspirational. And maybe you can just let my listeners know really quickly, like, if there's a way for them to get involved, or a way for them to donate, or a way for them to kind of help back as well through something that you're doing.
We have, we'll have a fundraiser coming up sometime soon, but you know, for the most part, I would just say I work very much hand in hand with the Tintiwa Foundation. My husband's the founder, and I love getting to work with them. It's one of the greatest honors of my life. There are multiple other organizations that really do amazing work, and I would just encourage your listeners to go and do some research to find organizations that you resonate with. You know, maybe that doesn't mean it's against the fight against human trafficking. Maybe you know, that's for a different cause, but I would encourage you to go and find those organizations, research them. There are so many incredible organizations that really have life-changing impact in people's lives all around the world. You know, we don't need to always try and reinvent the wheel or do everything ourselves. I've definitely been there where I've thought, you know, if I really want to make an impact, I have to start my own 501c3, and I have to start my own nonprofit, and I have to. But, you know, I think that that can very easily also come from a place of pride and wanting to say, I did this, instead of just being focused on what the bigger mission is at hand. And we always say one of our five non-negotiables at the Tintiwa Foundation is that there's power when we come together. And we really believe that there is power. If you want to go fast, go alone. And if you want to go far, go together. So that really is something that we believe. So I would just encourage your listeners to go and do research. You don't have to tackle every task all by yourself. There are people that are already doing incredible work.
Thanks. Yeah, that's a great reminder. Totally agree. Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing that again. I really appreciate that. That is a very powerful story, and I know God's going to continue to use that. But I want to transition a little bit more to talk about your marriage, because you are married to Tim Tebow, and he's obviously very well known. How long have you guys been married, and how did you meet? And then, like, following up question after that is, like, when you met him, were you instantly like, this is the one? Like, what's kind of y'all's story?
We've been married for 3 years and just about 3 months at the moment. We have three amazing dogs. They're our little angel pies, and we love them so much. When I moved to the U.S. back in 2017, I had never seen football or a baseball game in my entire life. And maybe you know, but Tim comes from a professional sport background. And so I had just, quite frankly, never heard his name. I'm a rugby and cricket girl growing up in South Africa. That's our big sports. That's the things we look forward to. And I had just really never seen American sports. I don't even think it was broadcasted on our TV channel. So I moved to the U.S. and my manager at that point, I had a little sister that was born with severe special needs. And we were 10 and a half years of age difference. And so my manager at that point actually told me about this organization that do a lot of work for people with special needs, and they host this prom, and it's just roll out the red carpet, and every single guest gets crowned as the king and queen of the prom. And she was like, I think this would be such a great opportunity for you to, you know, go and volunteer at, like, especially because of your sister, this would be so cool. And at that point I was just I was like, I am the big sister, and I want to just be protective of my sister. And, you know, like, my following grew from, I think, 50 or 60,000 followers to over 1 million literally overnight. Like, I woke up the next morning. So that was, I was kind of going through managing that and trying to figure out, well, how do I, you know, protect my parents, like, media and things, we call them, and we didn't go through training or anything like that. It's just Demi, you know, it's literally a literal overnight life change moment. And so I said, you know, I think we need to just wait a little bit. Like, I'm just so scared. Like, I don't want, like, the media to, like, make the whole thing out of my sister. Anyway, long story short. So a couple months later, the Tim Tebow Foundation reaches out, and they invite my little sister to this prom called Night to Shine. And so Night to Shine is currently hosted in 48 countries all over the world. And I believe over 750 locations. And the year I moved to New York City was the first time that Night to Shine was hosted back in South Africa, in my home country as well.
Wow.
And so, you know, I would talk about my sister, but still being, like, the protective big sister. And I was like, okay, well, this is not the second time I'm hearing of this Night to Shine. Let me go look this up. And so I look it up, and I see this guy, which I thought was Tim Tebow. So that was, like, what I called him, Tim Tebow, for the first couple of years knowing him. Literally had never heard his name. And I looked him up, and I was like, oh, this looks so familiar. What is this? And I realized, oh my gosh, he's the Night to Shine guy. And so between Tim Tebow and Night to Shine, that is how we got to meet. And we always joke and say, you know, between Night to Shine and my little sister, that was our matchmaker. And when we first met, Janine, we really had very little in common. I mean, like, culturally, coming, my first language is Afrikaans. When I talk to my mom, he's like, why are you guys always fighting when you're talking on the phone? And I'm like, no, I was just asking her how her dogs are doing. it's a very, like, it's very Dutch, German sounding. So, you know, I would say getting to meet him, we were talking for a couple of weeks. I was emailing back and forth, getting more information on Night to Shine. And when we finally eventually met in person, I feel like we both just pretty instantly knew that this was my person that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And I think it's safe to say that the feeling was pretty mutual.
I love it.
After we went on our first date, Tim actually told me, said, I think I just had my last first date.
Oh my gosh, I'm melting. That's so cute. Yeah, y'all are a power couple. You're a beautiful couple. You're a godly couple. You're changing the world. Like, Y'all are so inspirational, and I just love seeing kingdom-minded marriages, and I'm like, yes, that's so amazing. But I guess, like, again, oh, wait, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I will say, you know, when we first met, I think the point I was trying to get to was we had so little in common, and that's actually something that we've had to work on in our relationship, finding things that we love just doing together. And but you know what, those are also temporary things. You can learn new sports, you can learn new hobbies, you can maybe learn a new taste in music or food, but what you have in purpose is so much more important. And I think from the get-go, that was what our relationship was based on, was what we had in purpose. And you know, I was always involved in the fight against human trafficking, and my sister's background, that's such a big part of what Tim stands for and fights for every single day, way before we ever even met. So that was pretty special.
No, thank you for saying that, because again, I think people could look at your marriage and be like, oh my gosh, dream relationship. But one of my favorite pastors, his name is Jonathan Bakluta. He always talks about how, you know, don't marry someone because of your common interest, because interests change. And so I think that's a prime example of, like, are your values aligned? Are your purposes aligned? Do you guys want the same things in life? Are you, do you have the same shared faith? I think that's a great reminder that just because culture, language, you know, the way you guys spend your time, like, maybe that's not perfectly aligned, but those are the things that you can work out. But overall, the most important things were aligned, and that is what makes for a good, long, sustainable marriage.
And attest to that. So, and we've since learned to play pickleball together, and we make a mean double team. So we love playing pickleball. It's so fun. And then I recently started playing golf, so that's something fun that we've been.
So fun. Yeah. My boyfriend and I have been playing pickleball together recently, and it's such a fun sport. I love that.
It's such a fun sport.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so to kind of close out, like I said, you were Miss Universe, and people may not know things about you. Like, again, they may be making assumptions or have this idea about you. What are some things that you wish people knew more about you, or maybe some assumptions that people assume that you're like, wait, no, that's not true?
Gosh, I sometimes don't even know the assumptions that people make.
Is there anything like around that time when you were struggling, or people were saying things that you were like, wait, no, like, it's not what you think? Or maybe even just like, you wish more people knew this about you that's maybe harder to share on social media.
Yeah, I think, Jane, I think this is something that probably everyone can relate to, whether they were Miss Universe or not, right? I think winning Miss Universe was something that I had dreamt of for quite a few years prior. That was something that I kind of worked towards for a good amount of time. Even just winning Miss South Africa, Miss Universe, kind of really the next bigger step. But I think so many times in our life, we can very easily idolize that one thing that we work towards, and that becomes our purpose, that becomes our mission. Whether that is chasing that, getting into that school that you want to get into, getting into that college, getting that degree, maybe getting that next degree, getting that raise, getting that job title, making that sports team. I think that was something that I chased for a long time in my life. Just getting to that next thing, and then you get to that perfect spot, which, you know, you in our mind think is perfect, winning Miss Universe, and you think, okay, well, from here, everything's going to be easy and everything's going to be just smooth sailing. And then you realize that, oh, actually, no, this is temporary. This is not something that, you know, necessary would have eternal impact. Getting that job, getting that raise, getting that, making that sports team, whatever that might mean to you. So I would just encourage everyone listening to just not be focused on the temporary things in life, but focus on the things that really can have an impact for eternity and an impact for the greater glory of God, for His glory. That is the place in my life where I found my life's calling and my purpose. And you know what? Sometimes that might mean that we need to walk through hardship in order to get to that place. But man, like, I, you know, I've shared some of the stories with you today, like how Lord just used pain in my life and turned it into purpose for his glory, and how he's used like the biggest messes in my life and turned them into a message for his glory. But I will also say that we have to be willing. We have to be willing to give that to him, to let him turn that into a message for his glory.
Such a good answer. I could not agree more. Like, such a great answer. Thank you for sharing that. The last question I want to ask you, and we'll be done, is what would you say to the girl that is struggling right now with maybe hating herself or disliking the way that she looks, or she's comparing herself to someone online? And she just wants to feel confident and secure in who God says she is, but like she's struggling to get there. What does that look like for you? How do you find your confidence when you maybe do feel low? And what would be your encouragement to that girl that's struggling today?
Gosh, like a couple of weeks ago, I felt like I was in a spot like that. And I think the place that I get to get out of that, I call it a funk, to just get out of that, you know, way of thinking is just remembering not who you are, but whose you are, who you belong to, who created you, who set up the plan and purpose for your life, and hold on to the truth that God's word teaches us every single day to dive into that. I think the enemy comes, you know, to steal and destroy, but he also comes to silence us. He comes and isolates us, and then those lies just become bigger and they become more believable. So I would encourage, you know, if you're in a spot where you're feeling lonely, where you're not confident in who you believe you've been created to be, don't let the enemy isolate you and don't let him silence you.
Amen. I love it.
Just hold on to the truth that the Bible teaches us.
Yeah, that truly is the only way to survive when you're facing the lies. It's like you've got to replace the lies with the truth of who God says that you are. Because, yeah, I feel like that is the number one thing that the enemy comes for, is our identity. Because when that's not solid on the Lord, everything else is shaken. And so, great reminder. Demi, thank you so much just for all your wisdom, your truth, your story. I'm so in your corner, and I'm looking forward to just seeing where else God takes you, any other projects you're working on. I know you also have a jewelry company. It's called 153. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
okay. That's right. Awesome.
Yeah, some exciting things coming up soon that hopefully we get to share about, but thank you so much for having me, and just always love following you. And thank you for just being so obedient and who and what God's called you to be, Jimmy.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so sweet. And yeah, let me know next time you're in Texas.
I will. I promise.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you so much, Demi. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Okay, you guys, that was my episode today with Demi Tebow. Isn't she freaking amazing? She's so beautiful and so well-spoken, and I just loved the conversation with her and her sharing her story. Definitely fueled me up to be like, let's give back, let's do something. That's definitely something that I want to include more in my podcast and platforms, of showing and encouraging people to actually like give back in real life, not just money, even though I do think money is super, super helpful. And that's something I've actually been trying to do with my community here in Dallas, is trying to figure out a way for me and my girlfriends to volunteer somewhere. And so I encourage you to do that with your friends as well. I'm going to try to figure that out with my friends. And after hearing that episode today, I was like, dang, like I'm inspired, I'm motivated. So hopefully that inspires and motivates all of us to stand up and make a difference. And so, yeah, I'm just really thankful that she got to come on. All her links and everything will be down in the show notes, as well as the YouTube description. And if you guys don't know, we are on YouTube, so you can watch every single episode as well as watch this on Spotify. So thank you guys for hanging out with me. You can always donate to the podcast monthly if you would like. We do give 10% back to charity, and we are working on merch, so stay tuned for that. I know you guys have been begging for merch. It's been very complicated figuring that out. So stay tuned, and I will be back with more solo episodes, since I know you guys love those as well. Thank you guys for listening. From the bottom of my heart, it means the world to me. Thank you for being a part of the pod, and I love y'all. So I will see you guys again next Tuesday for another episode of Happy and Healthy. Until then, stay happy and healthy. Bye, y'all.